Welcome, welcome, welcome to Harvest Christian Church. Welcome to those online. Welcome to all of you. This is an exciting day, just because any day that you figure the Lord God makes it, come on now, it's got to be a good day, and it's full of riches and goodness for us to yet walk in and discover. So we just welcome you. It's really fun here today. We're wearing our lion apparel, most of us, because it's just an exciting day for the city of Detroit and for the Detroit Lions playing in an amazing game this afternoon. But it's fun. It's fun to wear an outward sign of the what we're feeling, the excitement that's generated by having a winning team and being able to identify with it. We were actually, Apostle Bob and I were at a clothing apparel store, you know, a sports apparel store. And all the people in this, it was quite crowded, but the whole crowd was around one section. It was the Detroit Lions section, all going through the apparel. And I thought, you know, I don't know a single person here, but I felt a sense of identity with everybody. I thought, we're all pulling together for the same team. We're all willing to identify with this same team. We're all excited about it. And that's an amazing thing that's happening, a dynamic that God's creating in our midst, as he's creating this place for us to identify together and pull together. I don't know about you, but I'm so encouraged by that kind of thing. Even yesterday there was a baby shower here. And so the ladies at Harvest gathered together for Lauren and Joshua as they're anticipating their little baby. But as I went into the multipurpose room, and it's all set up so cute for all the little baby boy decorations and that, but as I looked around, I could see there's Lauren's college friends, co-workers, all gathered together to celebrate with her. There's family members, some I know, some I don't know, ready. But I was excited because I saw the faces of so many of you, so many from Harvest Christian Church, and I thought, that's my gang. That's my gang. I was so delighted to be able to identify with you and to know I'm connected. You know, we're connected together. These are people that I'm proud to identify with. These are people, you are people that I'm proud to know and proud to be one with. And as we so often sing, that place we are one. But of course, our identity goes far beyond Harvest Christian Church, goes far beyond being part of even Detroit, being part of this community. It goes to the place of identifying with Christ. How wonderful that is, that we have that unifying identity. And he said to me this morning, as I was putting on my lion's gear and feeling like, oh, this is so cool, you know, he said, yeah, but what does my word tell you? And his word says, put on Christ. Yeah. Put on Christ. I'm going to read a couple passages here from in the Passion Translation. The first one from Romans 13. It said that night darkness is dissolving away as the new day of destiny dawns. So we must once and for all strip away everything that's done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. We clothe ourselves. There's something way beyond our natural clothing that we clothe ourselves with. And it calls in this light. We clothe ourselves with light. We live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness, debauchery, not in promiscuous and sensuality, not being argumentative or jealous of others. Instead, fully immerse yourself into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. How awesome. The word tells us this is our opportunity, and this is a commandment to us. And then in Colossians 4, it said, you have all become true children of God by faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. Every one of us who have chosen to stand in that place and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. I receive his work to myself. And so I believe that I am born again because of Jesus, because of his work. I believe we have all become true children of God by the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. It was faith that immersed you into Jesus, the Anointed One. And now you are covered and clothed with his anointing. That's the truth. The word says we are covered. We are immersed. We're covered and clothed with his anointing. Like anywhere I go wearing my D shirts or things like that, people can identify me with a city, with an area, with a certain reputation. Now it's getting better and better because of our winning team and that. It's like, wow, you're from Detroit, you're part of that, you know. But we carry an identity that's so much bigger, so much greater. And wherever we go, God says, let it be evident in your workplace, in your school, in your community, your neighborhood, in your family gatherings, any place you go, carry my identity because I've anointed you. That means he's immersed us and smeared us with himself, as it were. It said that it's by faith that you were immersed into Jesus, the Anointed One. Now you are covered and clothed with his anointing. And we no longer see each other in our former state. Jew, non-Jew, rich, poor, male, female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ, with no distinction between us. Since you are united to Jesus, the Messiah, you are now Abraham's child and inherit all the promises of the kingdom realm. It says, because we're clothed and united with Christ, there's no distinction amongst us. It's amazing. I've heard people say that because of even what's happening in the city with our team, that it's a unifying factor. The divisions because of race, economics, other aspects that can sometimes divide us, there's a diminishing of that as we identify with our team. Well, there is such a diminishing of our of negative distinctions. It's okay to have distinctions, but they are never supposed to be divisive. They're not to be divisive. They're to be unique and celebrated, but not divisive, not to hold us separate from each other. So we have such a unifying factor in Jesus Christ. We have such a unifying factor in coming before him. And one of the ways that's so evident is the fact that we worship, that we celebrate. So stand up, because that's what we're going to do together. Stand up. We're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to celebrate the one who has not only made us one together, that we could be connected together and have family here and with one another, but he's connected us. It says, because of Jesus, we're a child of God. Whoa. How amazing is that? You know, and we wear the garb that says, I belong to him. And I'm all about celebrating Jesus. Lord, we're here for you. We're here to celebrate your uniting factor. We're here to celebrate the work you did, that we could become family with one another, that we could set aside our differences and not be divisive, but instead be united because of you. We're here to celebrate that place of oneness, that place of glory that we stand in because of you, Jesus. We're here to celebrate you. May our praise be evident of how much in one we are, that we might have a lot of different interests and delights in that, but nothing surpasses our interest in you, our delight in you, our joy of you, and our surrender to you. See us as your people today, surrender to you as we celebrate you. Hallelujah. Lift up a shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're waiting at the gates for you, King of glory, come in. King of glory, come in. We're looking at the door. This is the year of the open door. Whether we have to push it or walk toward it or speak to it, we do it now, 'cause we're waiting at the gates for you.
Yo!
you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious.
Now.
Out of your body will flow rivers of living water. From the throne that resides in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory, flowing through the door of who we are. Of flowing waters, I can hear the sound of the river coming down.
Victory for you, for the rivers are flowing higher, the rivers are flowing higher. Taste and see my glory for you. Oh, the rivers are flowing higher, taking over, the rivers are flowing higher, taking over, the rivers are flowing higher. Taste and see I'm good for you, says the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah!
Yes, you are good. Yes, you are good. And your love endures forever. Yes, you are good. Yes, you are good. Yes, you are good. And your love endures forever. Deeper, deeper in you. You're calling us deeper, calling us deeper in you. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. It's who you are. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. That's who you are. You are love, so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace, so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. Father. tremble, I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. 'Cause you're a good, good father. open up the gates. We've opened up the gates. We've opened up you everlasting doors. We've opened up the gates, fixed our eyes on you. All ready to go through. Isn't it just like heaven? When you walk into the room, there's not a thing that's hidden. When every eye is on you, I can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like, it's just like heaven. Isn't it just like heaven? When you walk into the room, there's not a thing that's hidden. When every eye's on you, can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like, it's just like heaven.
Stay a little.
be together, God. Heaven. Yes, it is just like him. A taste of heaven. Taste of heaven.
Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Bless you, Lord. Just like heaven. Yes, I am your holy Father, and I say, be ye holy as I am holy. I am opening up the gates today, and you are the gates that I am opening up. You've sung, open up the gates. But eternal life abides in you. My word is in you, written in your mind and your heart. I have opened up the gates that you go forth and speak my word. You bring salvation into the earth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak it, live it, breathe it. Be holy as I am holy. The river is opening up and coming down through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Lift your hands and lift your voices right now.
Where you may ask is this gate, but your mouth open wide, you heavenly gates, for you are the heavenly portal I have placed in this earth. So open wide your heavenly gates. Proclaim my kingdom. Have my kingdom come through you, my heavenly portals, my heavenly gates. Open wide, open wide, open wide.
Amen, amen, amen. Listen to this scripture. And this is one we've been praying way back 30 years. Isaiah chapter 60. But listen to verse 18, what we're declaring. Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. So that's what we're declaring. Our walls, and the walls are salvation. The Lord provides the walls, but the gates that are being put in place is our praises. And we get to open and shut those gates. So we get to choose. Every time we're praising the Lord, we're opening the gates. And our region will no longer be called a region of violence or devastation. No more. But walls of salvation. The salvation of the Lord. Just like Nehemiah built the walls. But all the walls were in place. But the gates weren't there. So it's the gates of praise. Our worship, our gates. And when we open the gates of praise, we're opening the region. We're opening the open heaven over this place. So that the King of Glory can come in. And who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty, strong and mighty, victorious, mighty warrior, captain of armies, Lord of hosts, the great I am, everlasting Father, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our all in all. King of Glory, come in. Come in, King of Glory. You are welcome. You are welcome. King of Glory. Woo! this city, through this state, into this nation. Let the river of God begin to flow. Rise up. Rise up, you everlasting gates. Let the King of Glory come in. And who is the King of Glory? It's Jesus. And you know what? I'd rather have 1 second in his presence than any Super Bowl. And all we have to do is open up our hearts. He'll come in and he'll inhabit the praises of his people. Amen. An encounter with him. 1 second with him can change your whole destiny, your whole life. One word. Come. We'll get you out of the boat of fear and get you into the realm of faith. One word from the King of Glory. So we thank you, Lord, that we have an ear to hear. We're hearing. We thank you for the open heaven that you are speaking. Not only are you speaking, but we're hearing. And we're obeying. And we're saying, yes, Lord. To say yes to what he's speaking to you. Don't be passive, get passionate. This is a year of passion, and passion draws his presence. And with his presence comes power. Amen? Amen. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you. Thank you again for pouring out your presence and your power right now. Let's pray and agree together and pray for those that are watching online, but let's pray for Michelle Park, her husband Bill's in the hospital with pneumonia, or Peters, I'm sorry, not Park, Michelle Peters. Father, we just lift up Bill right now. We speak to his lungs right now, and we command healing to flow into his body right now. All pneumonia right now. Cease right now. Father, we thank you that COVID is gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you Bill is having an encounter with you right now. And he's experiencing you as Lord God, his healer. We pray that right now for Mary Seal, Lord. And thank you for just an encounter right now. As she's in intensive care, we just speak right now. Send her word, your word, into her lungs right now, into her heart, and align her body. We speak that decay right now and speak to her lungs. And Father, just a fresh breath, Father. Do healing right now that only you can. We believe for miracles and signs and wonders. Pray right now, Father. Oh, just begin to pray right now. There's an open heaven. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for Robert Fuller right now. We pray for Sandy Harshman and Helen Campbell. We lift them up onto you and we say, move, Father, supernaturally. Resurrection power right now. We send your word and heal those right now, Father. Mike and Val, healing. We thank you. By your stripes, they're healed. And those watching online, Father, we thank you this morning, Father. Just touch hearts and lives and bodies right now in the name of Jesus. You're the healer. Oh, thank you. Send the word right now. And we declare by your stripes, you're eradicating right now COVID and flu symptoms and colds. And Father, every virus that's being released in the name of Jesus. We speak strength and health right now to your body in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
And you can receive that for yourself too. If sometimes we think, you know, when we're praying for someone else, if it hits you, you just say, I receive that word.
I receive it.
Amen? Amen. It's not limited to one person or one situation we're praying. It's unlimited. And so just press in, keep praying. Pray for Michelle Peters as Bill went in yesterday. And so just be praying for him. Okay. Wow. Okay. I might need that. Oh, thank you. It was so exciting, the energy that was here yesterday with ladies here and celebrating Lauren and Joshua's pregnancy, and the baby's due in April, and so coming fast, and something about babies. And yesterday when David Jr. was here and they had their baby, boy, I tell you, there was a fire and excitement with something about new life and babies. Amen. Isn't there? Wow, it creates a new energy. And so could feel that yesterday, can feel that today, and just feel it with everybody having their garb on. But no matter where it goes, we know Jesus is still on the throne and we'll be celebrating him. But it's fun to celebrate at least being in the playoffs. And so we're not praying for our Lions, but you know what I heard, a statistic that they're saying that possibly right now there's a move of God going in the NFL. And if you saw the reports about the University of Michigan this past year, it's believed that 70%, 70 of their players of 100 were baptized and received Jesus Christ this last year. Say, I don't believe it. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, these guys believed it. And they say in the NFL that it's possibly that they're having the same type of a percentage of people receiving Christ. So, and I was just thinking, you know, back when I was young, I was hearing someone give a testimony. Back when I was young, I looked for a player that was, you know, just a believer and confess Jesus, you know, and I don't remember a whole lot of them that came out, but right now they're coming out. And just celebrate it. And, you know, after every game, you see them win or lose, they gather in the middle of the field. It used to be just a few from the same team, but now both teams will gather in the middle of the field at the end. And win or lose, they have one thing in common. They're acknowledging Jesus. And I love when I hear the reports of those guys and when they give a testimony, not of their team winning, but they give glory to Jesus and thank him for the opportunity of serving. So revival starts in all the mountains. It's not just in the church. You know, if we're waiting for it to just happen in the church, then forget it, because it's happening in all the mountains. So good seeing you. It's good to see some back that have been struggling, Maya and Greg, and I see some others that, wow, you persevered, you came through, you're standing. And that's the key in faith. Faith and perseverance inherit the promises. You keep persevering. What do you do when you confess that, you know, you're healed and you're not healed? You keep standing. You keep confessing. Amen. You keep persevering, pressing Amen. Through. Amen. And so there's a lot of stuff out there right now. And just stand in faith, you know, and if it hits you, praise God. It can't stay. It has to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a couple things coming up this week. You want me to just make that announcement? This Saturday is February's Women's Connecting Point. And so, ladies, you want to be here. God's moving among, you know, ladies. And notice that showers yesterday, there were several men at the shower, grandpa at the shower, some other men just celebrating. God's moving. Yeah. Amen. But this connecting point isn't for men. I better clarify that. You might say, okay, well, he just gave an invitation. No I didn't. But ladies, you want to be there. God's moving, and you want to be connecting with what God is saying. And he does something in a corporate means. It's not individual. He's not isolating. If you're isolated, it's time to get connected and be a part. So connecting point is this week. We got some exciting things coming up in the next couple of weeks. Almost a month away is our primaries. If you want to get absentee voting, you need to get your application in for that, or let them know so you can get the ballot to your house, because the primary is February 27th. And so we're going to, the thing is, get out and vote.
Yes.
Primaries determine a lot of who's going to win the elections, because it's such a small percentage that comes out in the primaries, but they dictate the direction of the elections. So If you're a believer, I believe if you're a citizen of the United States, you have a responsibility to vote.
Amen.
Okay? So get out and vote. If you don't know what the issues are or who to vote for or what they stand for, you can talk to us or talk to someone. But you can find, and it's very important to vote your values, not your personality preferences, but your values and biblical kingdom values. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's coming up this month. Just a lot happening. Hard to believe we've gone through January. One twelfth of the way through the year. Seems like we just started. Well, it's going to blow by. So fasten your seat belts because it's going to be exciting. And you get to choose if it's going to be exciting or if it's going to be dread and a time of fear. But I'm choosing faith and standing in the Lord. Amen. And so we're going to pray for the children. They're getting ready. I know I can smell down the hall. Father, we thank you for this children's ministry. Thank you for the children you're bringing in. Thank you for the parents, Father, that recognize that, Father, it's their responsibility, that it's not the government, it's not the school, the education. It's their responsibility, and that you empower them with grace right now to train up their children the way they should go. And we thank you that as a body of Christ, we thank you for the children's ministry that empower the children, enforce their parents' authority. But Father, we thank you that they're sowing the word into these children, that Father, they'll make a decision to receive Jesus and serve him all the days of their life, and that the words they receive now will not return void or empty unto you, but will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. So we thank you for our children's workers. Thank you that we're growing, Father. Thank you for revival among children, revival in the schools right now, that we send them back into, Father, the educational mountain, and we thank you that children, Father, will be bold in the Lord and, Father, share Jesus. And we thank you for just empowering them through the ministry and the children's workers here at Harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be dismissed. And this is a little bit unusual this morning, but if you remember last week, I made a statement about, if you want to come back to life, just think of an assignment that you haven't fulfilled. And we're not talking about your personal assignment only. But let me just address this morning, because within your assignment is within a bigger assignment. Your assignment is not the assignment and everything centers around it. Your assignment, your personal assignment is in the bigger assignment, the assignment of Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you, because I know that we got new people coming in and connecting with us. And if I went back, I can go back 45 years and take you through stages. But one of the stages and revelations that God gave us, that he gave us an assignment as a church here in this region. And for me, this week, I'm just going to tell you the story that happened that reconnected me back to something that I know is part of our assignment as Harvest Christian Church. And because you're here, it's also part of your assignment. And it's a bigger assignment than your personal assignment. God's assignment is always bigger than us personally. It's not about us individually. It's about him and his corporateness. And it's about him bringing people not just to Christ, but transforming them into his nature and into his likeness. And so a couple weeks ago, I was watching, and you know, I'm kind of at this point in January, I got certain ones I'd like to hear what the word of the Lord is, what God is saying to them. And one of the persons that I really respect in his prophetic words over the years, he's written books, he wrote the book Eternal Church, is Bishop Hammond. Bishop Hammond this year in October will be 90 years old. And when I saw him do this message, I thought, whoo, he's no 90-year-old. He set the bar high for all of us, you know, and fulfilling his destiny. And one of the things he said in this message was that he realized that he hadn't finished his assignment. So he had to pick up his game. And I shared with you last week, there's two important things. The first one is make sure you get to heaven, and that's salvation. Getting to know Jesus, accepting Jesus as Savior, growing in Him. That's salvation getting you to heaven. But the second one is don't go there until you finish your assignment. Why don't you want to go there until you finish your assignment? Because you're going to stand before Him and He's going to ask you the question, what did you do with what I gave you to do? And you can tell Him all the things you obtained, but is that what your assignment was from Him? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things. So all the other things that you're going to tell Him, I did this, 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 are unimportant if it's not connected with the assignment that He gave you within His assignment. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And Bishop Hammond was talking, and as he was talking about, he stirred up one of the assignments and prophetic words that I got over the year were not just for me personally, but they're prophetic words for the church, for Harvest. I receive them and carry them, and Prophet Susie carries them, and Apostle Linda and Pastor Amy. We've all been around together and got these prophetic words, and it wasn't just to us as individuals. It's been to us corporate as a body to this region. And so Bishop Hammond was sharing one of those things, and it reminded me as he was talking, I saw a picture of me sitting in my office. And in my office at my desk, just over my desk, and if you've been in my office, you know over my desk sits this here. So if you were in my office, you were talking to me, you were sitting across from me, this is what you would be looking at over my head. And as Bishop Hammond was talking about a vision not being fulfilled, I had a picture of this, and I thought, every day I look at this. Not every day I think about what it is, but I look at it. I can't help. I mean, it's almost eye level before I sit down, so it's there. I sit down, it's over my head. And then he reminded me of this little scroll that's in here. And so I had to pull it out to see what it said. And when I did that, I knew kind of what it said. I remember some scripture in there. But when I pulled it out, it was a prophetic word that started before I got this, before the church got this. We got also, in 1994 in October, we got this key. Chuck Pierce, when he started his ministry, before he was known, before he wrote any books, one of his stops was here at Harvest Christian Church, and he ministered to the region. And I remember him talking about when he was going through the airport, he looks for things that he can bring. He's real good at bringing object lessons. So I'm doing an object lesson this morning. And he picked up, and I got a set of keys here because we had them duplicated. But the key on top here, and it was 1994, and it's called the Key of David. Yay. And we were given the Key of David, and it's out of Revelation 3:7. In 2003, we got this that came from Jerusalem, from the house of prayer, that was given to us as a regional house of prayer as part of our destiny. And this key here is a literal key from one of the gates of the old Jerusalem. And we're going to go over that in a minute, but one of the things that the Lord stirred me and I got really alive about is I got unfulfilled assignments connected with Harvest Christian Church in this region that have to do with prophetic words. So I want to take you this morning, because I know some of you weren't even around when we got these in 1994. Some of you weren't born yet. And some of you weren't a part of who we were, so you didn't take on our assignment as a church. And then in 2003, and this was given to us by Tanya and Steve, and they were part of the Jerusalem House of Prayer, the 24-hour House of Prayer. And Tanya and Steve, Tanya my daughter and Steve my son-in-law, were there for 5 years, and they established the night watches. The night watches were from 12 at midnight to 6 in the morning. And for 5 years, they established that, and the 24-hour house of prayer has been gone since then in Old Jerusalem, and they sent this to us. And I'm going to read that in a minute, but not right now. So I'm getting them, because I need to catch you up on some other prophecies that all connected, that the Lord reminded that he gave us as this house. Because if you're a part of this house and your individual assignment is connected with the corporate body and the regional. And so I want to just stir you up and get you caught up to date. So can you receive this morning? My object lesson, and I'll come back to this in just a moment. I had to put a couple of things away. I had more object lessons, but I said, not too many at once. It will overwhelm me. So let's go to Isaiah 46. We're going to read a lot of scripture of Isaiah 46. And what happened after we received this key after we had started the regional house of prayer. God spoke to us in 1999. We started a regional house of prayer. It started with three pastors, Pastor Birchie and Pastor Strahd. Pastor Strahd is down at Christ Church. It was a Lutheran church that he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's now Christ Church, not Christ Lutheran Church. And Paul Birchie was part of Restoration Church that now is Gateway, that's in Farmington Hills. And we started a pastor's prayer, and out of that came the regional house of prayer. And we started the regional house of prayer with a trailer right out here in the parking lot. It was just, you know, a trailer that we bought, an industrial trailer. You see them on sites where when they're doing construction that the, you know, the engineers are in there, and that's where the workers can come in and receive assignment. Well, we rented one, leased one, and put it on our lot. And the first thing the city told us was, you can't have that if you don't have handicap ramp. And to put a handicap ramp on back in 1999 was $10,000. Well, for us, you know, we're not a big church. We thought $10,000. So we threw that out to the congregation, and quickly they responded. And we got the trailer, put the ramp up, got it approved. And for several years, we built. And there were times that we would go a whole month with 24/7. Not just our church. Sometimes there were 14, 15 different churches from around the city that took different watches. We started with four-hour watches. That was a little bit extreme and a little bit hard. So we heard, you know, at the same time we started that, without knowing it, IHOP started in Kansas City. And we found out, anybody said, you ever heard of IHOP? I said, I don't know what it is. Is it a pancake house? You know, and they said, no, it's the International House of Prayer. And they started the same month that we started. You talk about God is starting something. And the group of pastors, there were about six of us that went to Kansas City after we heard that, just to see what they were doing, because we were just starting. We didn't know what we were doing. But in that little trailer out there, these pastors, and there, I think there were 14 to 16 churches, Harvest Christian International, Jeff and Nina were pastoring that church. Their church was there, Jerry Strahd. I can just go through the churches. And they would take watches, and we got it reduced down to 2 hours, that watches. And in that time, they had a freedom. We all prayed for the region, but they would bring in their own musicians. And these little trailers, if you got more than 12 or 14 people in there, it was crammed. And if you're in there in the middle of the night, at 12 in the midnight and 2 in the morning, and those, boy, you know, it can get cold in those tin boxes, you know. And but there were times we would say, we need to have 24-hour prayer, and it was filled. So we went some months that we had 24/7. It was amazing. And the encounters that people were having in the trailer. I still get people that we run into when we're out there, and they say, they were a part of the regional house of prayer. And we remember that little trailer, how powerful. The presence of God was so strong in it. And so it was out there. And after a few years, we moved it from there. We bought a building right across from Greater Grace. So everybody knows where Greater Grace is, just the other side of Telegraph. We bought a building on the other side, and it was the same time that Greater Grace was dedicating their building and in moving into that. So we're across from Greater Grace. I can tell you all kinds of stories of that. Well, I'll tell you one, because you need to hear. So we were having parking problems when we moved our house of prayer down there when they had a service, because they would park in our little parking spot. And we couldn't get our few people in that were going through the house of prayer when they had a service nighttime or whenever it was. So I decided to go down there and talk to Bishop Ellis. And so instead of talking to him, you go through the different departments, chain of command. And I got his right-hand man, the man that was head of overseeing everything. And he called me in and he says, "Oh, would you like to see our building?" I go, "Oh my gosh." They just moved in. They had four platforms. They had a curtain that divided a flat platforms, and each curtain was a different platform. And when he opened up the last platform, he showed me the building. It was a brand new 15-passenger Ford van that they were going to give to their seniors that Sunday. I was just, whoa. Then he took me through the studio, and he's broadcasting all over the nation, radio and television. Went down to the cafeteria, and they had two full-time chefs. And he takes me through this building, and we can set that building that the house of prayer was in, we could set it in their foyer and it wouldn't make up anything. So he gets all done and he says, "Okay, let's go see if we can resolve your problem of us parking in your lot." So I'm standing out there, he's talking, he's looking over there and he sees, yeah, he says, "Yeah, that's not right that our people should be parking." And I said, "Yeah, that's right." He says, "Why don't you show me your building?" I'm going, "Oh gosh, you just took me through this this 2-hour thing, and we got 87 ministries, and all this." And so we walk into the house of prayer and walk down, and the presence of God hit this guy, and he goes, "Whoa." He says, "You know what? It's not what's happening over there," and he points back to Greater Grace. "It's what's happening here." He walked in and the presence of God just hit him. He goes, "Okay, I start talking about this, and some of you need to hear the testimony of where we came from." So Isaiah chapter 46, listen to this. I'm going to give a lot of scripture today, both Isaiah and also out of the book of Acts. So Isaiah 46, listen to this. Verse 8, "Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me." Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning.
Hey, come on.
This is critical. Doesn't matter how you start. He knows the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher and everything in between. So how you get to the end, you may make your plans, but he orders your footsteps. Every time I get in Proverbs and see that, I think, oh gosh, I'm making these plans. But he determines how you're going to get there. He's declaring the end, or the end from the beginning. So once you start off, you're not done until he says you're done. And that's what he's saying to us, Harvest, right now. Because one of the things not done is what he started with the house of prayer. And I'm going to give you a scripture that has to do with this. Object lessons that the prophets came and gave us and proclaimed over us. I can tell you the number of prophets that stood right here. I'm almost afraid to go over there because there's such a portal. I remember so many have said, there's an open heaven, a portal here.
Yes, yes.
And they didn't even know the other prophets that had come on, or speakers. They go, whoa, there's something here. And they'd have to get out of there. They said there's an open door and an open heaven. And the portal, and they felt something coming in. No, that's what Chuck Pierce was saying too when he was here with the keys. But anyhow, look what it says. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done. If your assignment is big enough for you to complete it, it's not probably a God assignment. Because his assignment to you is things that have not yet been done. If it's been done, then your assignment's done, then why are you here?
Come on.
Because when your assignment's done, Enoch, he walked with God. You know, he walked with God for what, 300 and some years. It wasn't just a little walk, but he walked with God, and he had such a relationship. So one time, God said, I believe what he said. He says, Enoch, your job's finished there. Why waste any more time down there? Come on up here and walk with me. We're walking together every day anyway. Well, that's just an Enoch story. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done. Saying, my purpose will be established. God is saying, my purpose, not your purpose for being here.
Come on.
We may take a lot of rabbit trails in this life. Because we haven't stayed on course with his assignment. Once you get his assignment, I mean, you read through scripture, and Moses was off assignment. Took him 40 years to get back assignment. Israel was off assignment. You look at it over and over, every one of the figures that we read about, Moses and Joshua and all them, they had an individual assignment. But they had a bigger assignment, which was God's assignment. And all of them got off somewhere. But the reason we can read about them is they got back on and finished what they were supposed to do in God's assignment for them. So he says, saying, my purpose will be established. I want to tell you right now, don't get concerned with all the chaos and craziness going on. Because his purpose is going to be established. You know, I'll tell you, when I was in that house of prayer, some of these scriptures, that scripture that we just prayed, was I had the night watch in January. And the night watch was from 12 midnight to 6 in the morning. And I had it in January, so it got cold. But I would pray these scriptures in Isaiah, and I think, how in the world are these things ever going to happen in the region we're declaring? I'll be real honest, say, God, no, I'm down here. I'm in Detroit. You're just looking. You know what's going on in here? And to be real honest, what I was praying and declaring, just like that scripture was, you know, walls of salvation and gates of praise, you know, no more devastation, no more violence. I can tell you, I prayed that almost every night, Isaiah 40, what is that? 46. No, not 46. I just told you, 56, 58, whatever. Let's finish this. And I will accomplish my good pleasure. So not only does he say my purpose will be established, but he says I will accomplish my good pleasure. And he chooses you and I to be a part of accomplishing his good pleasure. That means we sing he's a good God. When we're accomplishing his pleasure, he's being a good God, and he's empowering us with all the resources that we need to accomplish that assignment that he's given us. He would be an unjust God And a cruel father, if he told you to do this assignment that seems impossible and not empower you with the anointing and the giftings to accomplish it. He said, you know, I was walking and praying a little bit about this week, and it's like Mission Impossible if you choose to receive this assignment. That's what I felt the Lord was saying. And somewhere, you know, we chose to receive this assignment. And we sang this morning that it says, all things are possible to those that believe. That's what one scripture, not just all things are possible with God, but all things are possible to those who believe. So all things are possible with God. Our part is to those who believe. And we sang that trust in Him. The whole issue of our life is about trust. It's about believing Him. Do you really believe He is who He is, says He is? Without faith, it's impossible to believe God, please God. You must believe, first, He is, that He is Almighty God, and second, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So all things are possible with Him, but they're only possible if we believe. We access it. And we've been talking about this, and someone said, you know, I love that we activate faith. It's voice activated. If you're not saying anything, there's no faith. Because the sword of the Spirit is in Jesus' mouth, and He says, I'm putting my word in your mouth. Yes. Now let's see if I can finish Acts 46, because we're a long way away here. And I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. So what's spoken in there, surely I will do it through you, through me. God's only means of accomplishing His purpose in the earth and bringing His kingdom into the earth, and His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as is heaven, is He can do it, but He's looking for a vessel. And He says, I'm going to look for a vessel. Something that would say, just like Mary, let it be done unto me according to your word. I believe that, you know, He gives everybody an opportunity. And if they don't say, let it be, He finds someone else. I don't believe I was the first person to take on this assignment. And I can talk to you a lot about that. I don't believe this was the first church. There were other churches in the city. But somewhere, and I know I said, be it done unto me. I didn't know what I was saying. I wondered, was I out of my mind? Some have tried to talk me out of it. Some have tried to prophesy it out of me. Why are you still in this city? Don't you know your kind's moved away? The Lord says, what's that got to do with your assignment? Okay, I'm just telling you some things, you know, that I struggle with and we as a church have struggled with on our assignment to this region. But He says, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I planned it, surely I will do it. Now just turn a few pages over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, because I believe this is a covenant promise. And I prayed this many times, but this is a covenant, not only to Israel, but this is a covenant to all those that receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And here's the covenant in verse 21. As for me, and the me is capitalized, and this is God speaking. So God's saying, as for me, this is my covenant with them, with you and I, with Israel, with the body of Christ. My spirit is upon you. And in the new covenant, it's not only upon you, but it's in you. And this is a covenant that God has with us. He says, my spirit I'll pour out upon you. And it not be upon you, but be in you. And notice what it says. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth. This is a covenant. For our assignment, God will give us the words, but we got to put the words in our mouth. We got to be speaking it. God's covenant is, I'll put my words in your mouth. You don't get a choice of what words you put in your mouth. Just like you don't get a choice of the assignment. He gives you the assignment. He gives you the words in your mouth to accomplish that assignment. And he gives you the Spirit. So the Word and the Spirit. He says, my Spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. The battle is, from the beginning to the end, is to keep that word in your mouth. It doesn't matter if it's 40 years. God's not caught up with time. Time is a temporal. Time is an earthly thing. It's not a heavenly concept. God says a day is 1,000 years in his sight. So we've only been around since Jesus almost 3 days. You got that? We can accelerate God's time when we put that word in our mouth, but then the enemy comes to what? He comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. Steal the words in your mouth, because if he gets the word out of your mouth, it kills the vision. It shuts down your assignment. How many times do we're kind of like a car that's, the old crank-up cars, and then it starts. How many times have we stalled, and then it takes time to get us restarted again, and then we run a little more, and then we get hit with something? I'm going to hold back from, I can't go there today, okay. My Spirit which is upon you and which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, but notice, this is generational, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. Why is this important? Because the generational covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you don't pass it on, your assignment may not be fulfilled in your lifetime. Amen. Sometimes our assignment is just, we're just seeding it. And the next generation takes a little further, but it's the next generation after that. And Abraham, he gave this blessing of Abraham, but it wasn't until Joshua was the one that found it. And he was like the great, great, great. How many? Five away? Great, great, great. That fulfilled what Abraham said. Your seed will be like the stars of heaven and the sand and will fill the earth. It wasn't until Joshua went in and possessed the land. Are you following this? So it's not just you having the word in your mouth. If you don't get it in your offspring's mouth, and if it doesn't get in your offspring, it's generational, you may not see your assignment fulfilled. But I'll tell you what, you can accelerate it. So let's go over to Acts and talk about this a few minutes. Because I believe one of the key people outside of Jesus in the Bible is David. Listen to the things that David accomplished. I mean, he wrote most of Psalms. But David is in 1st, 2nd Samuel. He's in 1st, 2nd Kings. He's in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. David was a king. He was a priest. He was a prophet. He was a musician. He was a composer. He was a worshiper. He was a warrior. You guys get this? There's no one else in the Bible that's prophet, priest, and king but Jesus. David was a prerequisite of what the church was to be after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, it was a king and a priest. The Levitical priesthood was just priest. Are you following this? I'm not going to talk about Melchizedek today. I'd like to. But David, we can all relate to. So let's go and look at a little bit of David in the book of Acts, because David is mentioned more in New Testament scriptures than almost anybody else. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is quoted more by Jesus than almost any other book. Deuteronomy, he also quotes. But in Acts chapter 15 and verse 13, and if you know this scenario, what's happened is they came to the council in Jerusalem, the apostles did, and they got a problem now because the Gentiles are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can't even imagine that because we're sitting here. We're looking back. But if you imagine you were a Jew and you're looking for the Messiah and the day of Pentecost comes and now outpouring where Gentiles are getting filled, Peter goes and preaches at Cornelius' house and he's preaching, and before he gets even to the invitation, they get filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Woo! Now there's a problem. So they come back to the council and they say, what are we going to do with this problem? So they're talking to James, who's the senior pastor, the senior apostle, and he comes, and this is James' judgment, verse 13. After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, brethren, listen to me. Simon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among these Gentiles a people for his name. With this words of the prophets agree, just as is written. Verse 16, after these things I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen. And I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago. In the early 90s, when we first came into the prophetic, the first thing that we heard was the tabernacle of David. That God, in the last days, will restore the tabernacle of David. It's not the literal tabernacle, but it's what happened in the tabernacle of David. And you can read that in Chronicles. You can read it in 1 Kings 18. You could read that what happened was 24-hour worship. In fact, as I was reading, and I didn't get to do enough study on this, but I was reading that they had 24-hour worship and praise, and they had regiments, 24 regiments that took that responsibility. 24. I kept hearing 24. 24 groups of musicians. Woo! You could see that. To go around the clock to keep the presence of God and the atmosphere of God. The tabernacle of David, in fact, you don't have to turn there because it'll take you longer to find it than will me. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. When 9-11 happened, all of a sudden this scripture became alive because it was 9-11. This is Amos talking about the tabernacle of David. And he said in verse 11, in that day I will raise up the fallen booth of David, or David's tabernacle. In that day he's talking about in the last days. God says, I will restore the tabernacle of David, the booth of David. And wall up its breaches. I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden. And all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord, who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seeds, when the mountains will drip sweet wine, and all the hills will be dissolved. And I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from the land which I have given them, says the Lord your God. Now this applies to natural Israel, but the church also. I'm going to, in the last days, rebuild the tabernacle of David. It's not the physical structure. Now I'm going to show you some scripture in this. So back in Acts, but let's go over to Acts 13 for a minute. Because I want to talk to you a little bit about David. Acts 13, verse 36. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep. I'm going to tell you, don't fall asleep or die until you feel the purpose of God in your generation. If you have an unfinished assignment, it's not your time to fall asleep. And the word in the Greek, fall asleep, is also, it's a nice word for saying he died. When he served his purpose. And notice what it says. For David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through his forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all these things, is talking about Jesus, from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Therefore, take heed. Wow. I thought it was in that place where he said David was a man after his own heart. You know why David was a man after God's own heart? Because he fulfilled his purpose in his generation. That's really important. If you're here, this is your generation. And then in chapter 17, I want to make sure you understand what your generation is. In chapter 17 of Acts, so Paul stood in the midst of those at Athens in verse 23. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Boy, what a bold thing for Paul to say. And you know, they had thousands of worship. Any idol that you put above God, anything that you put above God becomes an idol of worship. But in case they missed an idol, they said, this idol is the one to the unknown God. So Paul steps in boldness and says, let me tell you about this unknown God. So this is what he tells them. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Your mission is connected with you being alive today.
Yes.
The most important time right now in the face of the earth is today. You can't live in the past and you can't go in the future. Today, now faith is. Faith is always in the now. It's never in the past and it's never in the future. If you see what you're believing for, you're not in faith. Faith is always now. And so now is the most important time that you're living in today.
Amen.
You can't give an excuse, I'm too old, I'm too young. He takes away all excuses.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
So your time when you were born for such a time as this. And your habitation, you say, man, why wasn't I born somewhere else? And most of us want to be born somewhere warm. But you could have been born in a third world nation. I mean, be thankful where you were born. I'm telling you, being born here is better than being born anywhere else in the world. And I've been all around the world.
Amen, amen.
So I don't believe that. Why don't you go visit there for a month? We were watching CBN the other day, and there's places in the world that cannot even get clean drinking water. And we get choices of where we're going to get our water from. Now we're finding out it's not all so good to drink out of plastic, because plastic particles are getting in our bloodstream. I'm just throwing stuff out. I mean, but God.
Amen.
Notice what he says. I love this. And he made from one man every nation, verse 26, of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. So he made all men to live on the face of the earth, but he's determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. For they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live, move, and exist. I'll tell you, this is a powerful scripture. In him. Outside of him is no life. But in him is life and life more abundantly. In him we live. Everything we do ought to be in him. In him we live, and this next one says, and move. So all of our actions, all that we're doing, that's in him. So we live to be in him. We live to move for him. And exist. Your whole existence is for him. And when you get born again, you only have one purpose for living. It's to serve him and to fulfill his mission. Yes. Amen. Amen. In him we live, move, and have our being. For we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Okay. Are you following? I just want to read some things out of the book of Acts. Now let's get back to... Are you ready to bring that up? You bring that up so I don't have to hold it up. When Chuck Pierce came and gave us the keys, and Tanya and Steve were here and they gave us the plaque, I want to read this scripture, two scriptures. The first one's of Revelation 3, 7, and 8. In Revelation 3, 7, and 8, this is what the angel came and spoke to the church at Philadelphia. The church at Philadelphia was the only church that he didn't say anything was wrong with them. But he says, I give you the key of David, that whatever you open, no man will close. It's talking about authority. But let's go to Isaiah chapter 22, because this is where it's quoted from. And Isaiah 22 gives us a powerful revelation of what that key is, that can open and no man will close, and what you can close and no man will open. In Isaiah 22, verse 22, says this, then I will set the key of the house of David. He doesn't say just the key of David, but it's a key to David's house. What is David's house represented? I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. Shoulder is symbolic of government. Remember in Isaiah 9, it says, God says, I will set my authority on the shoulder of Jesus. And the increase of my government there will, and peace, there will be no end. Here, David's key is talking about authority. His house is talking about you and I. The house that God is building to occupy is you and I. He's not looking for a structure. He's looking for a temple that he can come in, live in, and dwell with. And he says, I've given you the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. And just kind of throw in these last three verses, 23, 24, and 25. I will drive him like a peg in a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house. Wow. David's tabernacle is to become a house of the glory of God. It's not coming into a natural building. It's coming into a people, because God does not look to inhabit buildings anymore. He's inhabiting you and I. He will become the throne government of glory to his father's house. So they will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, offspring and issue, all the least of vessels, from bowls to all the jars. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, the peg driven in a firm place will give way. It will even break off and fall, and the load hanging on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken. The tabernacle of David is what God is restoring. And what we received, and we started the house of prayer, because the house of prayer is what he's talking about. In fact, in Mark chapter 11, 17, it says, and also in Luke it says, in Matthew, but Mark 17, I like it, my house shall be a house of prayer. And Mark 11, 17 says, of all nations. We got revelation of the tabernacle of David. We started the house of prayer. Then we got revelation. It's going to be a house of prayer for all nations.
Yes.
And the glory of God is going to fill that house. And with that key of David, there's going to be governing authority, that whatever you open, no man will close, and whatever you close, no man will open. Are you following this? We didn't get all of it once. We got it in the early 90s. The prophetic came in. We got David's tabernacle. As we progressed in there, we started to get, we got presented the key of David, the authority, the apostolic. That's why you see, you know, as I walk through, that's why you see all the flags up there, because the first thing we had in the church across the street above the platform, and the baptismal was up there, but there was the words, and there was a map of the world, and it said, go into all the world.
Yes.
We started with a vision of going into all the world.
Yes.
And then we started to get revelation. He's restoring the tabernacle of David, or the house of prayer. And so we started the house of prayer out of revelation. What's it look like? I don't know. So we started this house of prayer, and it became regional. 911 hit, and we get more revelation. The apostolic starts to come and teaching on the authority and government of God. And we start adding that. And somewhere, I don't know where it went, we lost finishing that course. But we're back. We're back. This is the assignment of us. That's why we're still here. And we've kept the house of prayer active with two watches. It started in 1999 with the pastor's prayer, and the pastor's prayer is still going on today. It's twice a month that meets here. That watch is still active, which is, I believe, talking about government. The second one is the prophetic, which is first fruits, and that goes every Tuesday on here. There are two watches back from the original house of prayer that are still going on. So I believe we still qualify for that assignment. Not only have we added those two, but now we got watches that go on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for an hour. Every watch is different. Every watch has a different function, but it's part of the 24-hour house of prayer. And you can pray for me, because, well, I got to do this, I forget. I had them put up this. So you wonder what was in that little scroll? Okay, you can go there. I think I can read it up there, because this is the declaration that's on that little scroll. Look at the very top what it says. Declaration of an open heaven.
Wow.
I mean, that's enough to just fold it up and put it back in there. Every day it sits over my desk and it's saying, a declaration of open heaven. Declaration of Open Heaven from Mount Zion. It's talking about from Israel. Mount Zion was where Elijah did the, you know, defeated the prophets and all that. And Mount Zion's where the presence of God. We agree with you for the shattering of the stronghold of the spirit of anti-Semitism and the downfall of the spirit of Islam in this region here. We declare the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will arise and show himself mighty in this region. May he show forth his mighty hand of deliverance and open the heavens and come down and visit this region. From Mount Zion, we agree with you for an open heaven over the region of Detroit. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, Yeshua, the Messiah, be pleased and send his fire and consume offerings of worship that are offered in this region on the established altars of worship and on those who offer their hearts in worship to him. We declare Isaiah 64, 1 through 4, all that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets a twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since the ancient times, no one has heard. No ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Today we present to you, this is the house of prayer in Israel, we present to you as designed spiritual gatekeepers over the Mount Zion gate, this key to the city of Jerusalem, to Mount Zion. May our God and Messiah watch over this city and region and send mighty outpouring of his spirit that all the earth may see and say that God is in this city, in this region. May he restore you as a voice for him in the earth.
Hallelujah.
Whoa. We further declare out of Revelation 3, 7 and 8a, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I place before you an open door that no one can shut. Presented by, and that's the house in Israel, Sakahala, and onto the Lord Ministries, that's Tanya and Steve's ministry, Jerusalem, Israel, September 14th, 2003. Wow. We blew it up. I blew it up so that I could see it and read it. We cleared it up because on that little scroll, it's kind of foggy. We cleared it up and we'll make that available to you. This is a declaration you can make when we're praying and we're praying as one. This is part of your big assignment too. And in that big assignment, you all have a part.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Only you can fulfill your part in the big assignment. But this is what part of our assignment. He's bringing us back to our assignment to finish, that we are a regional house of prayer. We're still known as the regional house of prayer. Even though we sold the building, moved out, moved some of it in here, we still got pockets and other churches that take watches. We're going to stir our pastors up to find out what watches they pray so that we can know who's praying and we can start to send prayer targets out so that we're all praying the same thing over the region. I believe what's happening across this nation, and we prayed it for years. As Detroit goes, so goes the nation. Today, the whole nation, I get so excited listening to the newscasters today. They say, we're pulling for the Lions. They're the underdogs. In fact, I heard one commentator from out west say that everybody is pulling for the Lions except for those in Northern California. That's where San Francisco is, okay? So we'll let them. But the focus isn't. But this says the focus will be not on because of the Detroit Lions roaring. And even if they don't go any further, the line of Judah is roaring. And God is stirring up what he's called us from the, you know, beginning of time. And we might not have been the first to receive it, but we received confirmation after confirmation from people that came in, gave us things just like that key, that little scroll on there, that decoration. And when I heard Bishop Hammond talking about that, all I could see was that, and I said, I better find out what we're declaring, what our assignment is. And so I just want to let you know, get you caught up. That's assignment we have as Harvest Christian Church. Amen. And we're going to finish it. Sometimes I said, how is it ever going to happen in Detroit that we see an outpouring of Holy Spirit?
Hey, come on.
In 1948, 1954, and most of us weren't around, but 1948, 1954, Detroit was on the face of the globe. People were coming in from all over the world because the outpouring on Mobile.
Yep. Yep.
And the birthing of Bethesda. I talked to James Beal after his mom passed because Mobile was part of the original founding of this church. And she broke off to start Bethesda 9 months. We're 9 months ahead of Bethesda. 95 years this year in Detroit. But Bethesda is no longer in Detroit. They were prophetic and people came from all the world. And Pastor James Beal, I says, you know, what about your mom? Did she remember being connected to that church over there? It was Detroit Gospel Tabernacle. He says, oh yeah, as a little boy, she used to bring me over there all the time. And he says, in those 6 years, the outpouring was so great. He says, people were coming in. We didn't have time to do organization. When it lifted in 1954, we had so many people. We had grown and expanded, so we finally had to organize, put things in order. And it sounds like 1 Corinthians 14. Let all things be done decently in order. But let things be done before you put things decently in order. The church liked to put things decently in order and then try to do things. Wildfire broke out, and Detroit was known for it. And you can read about it, the outpouring here in the Detroit area. Well, it's going to happen again.
Yes!
Amen.
Yes.
I believe we're on the verge of it.
Yes. Amen.
And you're individually important for this. I mean, praying for the seed, declaring what he said over it, finding your place. If you're older, you know, be like a Joshua and Caleb. At 85, Caleb was as strong as he was at 40. He says, it's now time for me to take my mountain.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? Amen. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Get back to the covenant that we read in Isaiah 59. Yeah, I know. Okay. thank you. So we'll make these available for you, but the restoration of David's tabernacle is part of who we are. That's why you see the flags, but I wanted to go and say, some of you say, what are all the banners about? We understood when we, in the 90s, the tabernacle of David was about all the worship and the dancers and the flags and the celebration. That's what all this was a part of, was a demonstration of 24-hour, seven days a week, radical worship and praise and,
yes.
And prayer. Amen?
Amen?
And it's happening again.
Hallelujah.
Let me pray, and then Amy's got a song. I feel it coming on. You want the song first, or you?
It's what you had written up there over that picture.
Oh.
It's our call. It's our song.
Okay. Why don't we do that, and then we'll pray and seal it.
Okay.
'Cause
this is the time we've waited for. Yeah. Spirit of the Lord is breaking forth. Come on, people, raise up a roar. It's our time. Time we've waited for. Spirit of the Lord is breaking forth. Come on, people, raise up a roar. It's
our time.
Our time to run and take a stand. Our time to take back all of this land by knowing our God and building his people, impacting our world.
we've waited for. Spirit of the Lord is breaking forth. Come on, people, raise up a roar. It's our time. This is the time we've waited for. Spirit of the Lord is breaking forth. Come on, people, raise up a roar. It's our time. Our time to run and take a stand. Our time to take back all of this land. By knowing our God and building His people, impacting our world for the kingdom. It's our time to run and take a stand. Our time to take back all of this land. By knowing
that was written out of that time. David was a composer. We had a lot of songs you don't know that we sing that were written in that time. And they're current songs now because they were songs that were prophetically given. And they don't grow old. That song, so when we're singing it, was written out of that time. Amen. Amy, you wrote that one. And so some of the other ones that you have. So we're stirring up those prophetic composers right now, those songwriters, musicians, singers, dancers, prayer warriors, intercession, priests, kings, musicians. Father, we thank you right now. This is the time we waited for, and we thank you. Now is our time, and we thank you. We're raising up a different roar, Father, that the roar of yesterday was great, but there's a new roar coming into the region. It's a roar, Father, of the glory of God manifesting right now, Father. No more delay. Now is our time, and Father, we thank you that, Father, when we step into it, there's the grace we need right now to fulfill our assignment and your assignment, Father, for this region. And we thank you. We've been born for such a time as this. We've been placed in this region, in this habitation right now. Father, we thank you that as we begin to declare, you put a covenant with us and said you put your word in our mouths and you put your spirit upon us and in us, and that we thank you that, Father, as we continue to speak your word, the sword of the Spirit, as we continue, Father, to raise up the next generation with the word in their mouth and the generation after that, we thank you that this is a year of great acceleration right now. We thank you that, Father, we're in the greatest harvest field that, Father, in the world, because this is the harvest field you placed us in. And, Father, now is the time that, Father, we take, Father, to go into all the world and make disciples as your assignment. We thank you that we receive it. Let's say it with me. Say, let this word be done unto me.
Let this vision
for this region be accomplished in and through me. For in you, I live,
I move,
and I exist.
And
I thank you for empowering me
with the grace,
the gifts,
the
anointings,
and all that I need
to fulfill my assignment. Thank you for giving me extra supernatural strength. I receive supernatural healing.
I receive
all the gifts of the Spirit. Everything needed to fulfill your assignment
in my life.
Whoa, just receive it now.
Glory to you, God.
Yes, haha. Wow. Well, now I guess it's game time. I love this design. It was done by Jeff next door. This design is the lion coming through the D.
Yeah.
We saw this and we couldn't resist it, so I got that. So the lion's coming through the D. Amen. So have a great time today. Enjoy it. Celebrate. Doesn't matter what happens. We'll be back next week celebrating King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, there's a lot of believers here. Just on your way out, introduce yourself and say, could you pray for me? Because a lot of believers, a lot of faith here. And so we welcome you and go and have fun today. Did I get my beads? You gave them all away. Yeah, I was going to get those chains and do my face, but I couldn't do that. I had to stay focused. No.